in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So our message is entitled Exceeding Abundantly Above. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for the privilege of assembling and opening your word together. We now commit the service to you. May Jesus be lifted up and glorified. Lord, may we open our hearts and allow you to speak to us today and just be reminded of how wonderful and how powerful of a God you are. And Lord, may our faith never waver in that. And we give you this service. We love you in Christ's name. Amen. So in the earlier verses, which we're not going to focus on this morning, we see where God desires that each of us be strengthened in the inner man, as we saw there, that we be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And as we saw there, that he wants us to comprehend his love, which is immeasurable. And after sharing all of that, he wants us to realize that all of that is possible through a God that is all powerful. And that is the focus of this passage that we're going to focus on this morning. Verse 20 says, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. It comes down to the ability of God, which, as we see, has no limits. Hallelujah. So we as Christians, therefore, because God lives in us, as we saw the power that worketh in you, because God lives in us, we can never have a place to say, well, I can't do that, or that's impossible, because those statements are not true in light of what God is telling us, and that is that God can do anything, and that God is all-powerful. And so that same God lives in us. Amen? And that's what Paul meant in Philippians 4:13 when he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. If you're a born-again Christian, God lives in you. And he's empowered us not to just go out and do whatever we want, of course, but he's empowered us to serve him and to be what he wants us to be. So he says there in verse 20, unto him that is able. That's really what it comes down to, is the ability of God. Are there limits to the ability of God? Of course not. When you look at David, this little ruddy teenager coming out in front of an entire army that's cowering because of a giant, David said, what's wrong with you people? He's blaspheming the name of our God. And he went out against the giant with a couple of stones and a slingshot. It wasn't that he believed in his great ability to throw a stone. It was that he believed in God. And that God was able to deliver the giant, which he did. Even Gideon, when God called Gideon and God said, you know what, Gideon, I don't want you to have too many with you because I don't want man to get the glory. I want God to get the glory. You only get 300. You're going to take on the entire Philistine army with 300. And they did. And by the way, they won because God was in it. And even Jeremiah, if you go to Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 17, Jeremiah believed in the God who is able to do anything. And God wants this from all of us. Notice Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 17. He says, O Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. That needs to be our attitude. There's nothing too hard for God. And by the way, God answered this in verse 27. Look what he said. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? That's a rhetorical question, of course, because there isn't. And so it really comes down to the ability of God. If you go to Mark chapter 11, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was healing some sick folk, he asked a simple question. He made a simple statement. Notice here in Mark chapter 11, this actually had to do with the fig tree, where the disciples marveled that Christ had caused it to wither. And it says in verse 20, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, just four words, have faith in God. Have faith in God. A lot of people today think that it's about the measure of our faith, but no, it's about the measure of our God. Jesus told many parables about our faith, and one of them was the grain of the mustard seed, one of the tiniest seeds. He explained to us that it's not the measure, the amount of faith, it's the object of our faith. If the object of our faith is an all-powerful, almighty creator God, then great things will happen. So it's not the amount, it's the object that counts. He is able, and that's what he's saying. Now unto him that is able, we saw in the Daniel, I think two Sundays ago, it was online, but where the three Hebrew friends of Daniel were threatened by Nebuchadnezzar to be thrown into the fiery furnace. And they said, O king, our God is able to deliver us. He may not, but he's able. And that needs to be our underlying belief throughout our Christian life. God is able. But verse 20 of Ephesians 3, to do what? Exceeding abundantly above. These are God's words. Exceedingly abundantly above what? All that we ask or think. In other words, God is able to do even more than we can imagine. And yet, how many Christians doubt God when they're faced with something big, when they're faced with a big trial or a big prayer request, and they begin to waver, and the devil sneaks in and says, God really isn't going to do that. God's really not interested, or it's too big for God. And we begin to doubt. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. Doubting God is the greatest prayer limiter there is. We must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's Hebrews 11:6. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. If you go to 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul believed that God was able to keep our salvation. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Paul didn't believe that our salvation is secure because of us, because we're wicked sinners. Paul believed that our salvation was secure because of the ability of God to keep us. And those are two different things, aren't they? Notice 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul said, for with which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Our belief in eternal security is not about our belief in us or our ability to keep our salvation. It's our belief in a God who is able to keep us. And that's exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. If you go to Romans 4, Abraham believed that God was able. God came to Abraham and made him a promise that even in their old age they would have a child. And of course, God gave them Isaac. But notice Romans chapter 4, verse 21. And being fully persuaded, this is talked about Abraham, that what he had promised, he was able to perform. He was able. So he didn't stop and think, well, I'm too old. My wife is too old. We can't have children. No. God said it, I believe God will do it. That needs to be our attitude about everything in our Christian lives, that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above. And one more verse, Hebrews 2:18. God is able to help us when we are tempted. And again, we're all going to face temptations. The Bible promised that. Diverse temptations. But God promised here, notice Hebrews 2:18, for in that He Himself hath suffered being tempted. That's talking about Jesus. We're told in 4:15, He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. It says He was being tempted. He is able. This is Jesus, to succor them that are tempted, or to help them that are tempted. So when the temptations come, Jesus is waiting for us to ask for help. He's ready to help us to face that temptation and not succumb to it. And so, again, to say, well, I can't win this battle over this temptation. I can't win this battle over this addiction or whatever it might be. That is a lie if you're a Christian. Because Jesus is able to help you with it. And God's already promised you that He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. God's already promised that He knows your limits and He will be there. Jesus is there to help you when you're tempted. So we're all going to have struggles. We're all going to have burdens. We're all going to have temptations. Is God able to deliver us from those things? Of course He is. And to question the ability of God is really close to blasphemy, is it not? We talked about this in one of our teaching sessions with the young adult thing this past week. But what angered God more than anything with Israel in the desert was their unbelief, which came out in complaining and moaning. But they didn't believe God would protect them or take care of them or had their best interests in mind. God is able. And that's the heart of this message this morning, is the ability of God to do anything. And that God, notice chapter 20 of Ephesians 3, according to the power that worketh in us, that God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think is in us. The day we were born again, He moved in and indwelt us. That's why He told the disciples prior to Pentecost, He said, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Hasn't happened yet. It's going to happen here very soon after Jesus ascends to heaven. You're going to receive power. From who? From God Himself in the person of the Holy Ghost. Micah said, I'm full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. In Micah 3:8. Our God is a God of power, and He indwells us. I want to look at a couple of verses, Psalm 62:11. We're talking about power this morning. We already know the limits of God's power. They're exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. In other words, they are unlimited. Notice Psalm 62:11. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. God has all the power. And the good news is, if you're born again, He is your Father. And He's ready and willing to use that power in our lives. What a blessing. While you're in Psalms, look at 66, verse 7. It says, He ruleth by His power forever. God is not a passive God. God is sovereign over this earth. And the Bible says that He rules this world by His power. And so here we believe that God made the entire universe, including us, and that God controls the entire universe, and yet sometimes we doubt whether He can answer our prayer. Think about that. He rules the entire world by His amazing power, but we question His power for our little thing. Isn't the devil crafty? God's power is infinite. We're told in Jeremiah that he made the earth by his power. Jesus, and go to Matthew 19. Jesus here is talking about God's power. Matthew 19 and verse 26. And again, there are no limits. It's exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Matthew 19, verse 26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Amen. There are no limits. And that is the God who has indwelt us. That is the God who said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That is the God who's promised to help us each step of the way and to protect us. The Lord is faithful who will establish you and keep you from evil. The power that worketh in us, exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Back into our passage, verse 21. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. I love that he put there in the church. Because that is to be our focus, is it not? It's to bring glory to God. It's not the world's mission to bring glory to God. They hate God. They worship the God of this world. They don't realize it, but he's running the show for them. But we have the God of heaven as our God, and the church, those of us that are born again, we are here to bring him glory. Whether therefore you eat or drink, right? 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And just by the fact that we're born again, we're to bring him glory. Because he's taken a lost sinner that was on his way to hell and pulled us up out of the miry clay and put our feet upon a rock and established our goings and put a new song in our mouth. He should get the glory for that. We should be telling everybody our testimony. God saved me from a wicked life. God saved me from hell. God saved me from sin. And I'm on my way to heaven. Glory be to God. And now our lives are to bring him glory. And you know what? When we trust God through the trials and the hard times, that brings him glory. When we pray and he answers prayer, that brings him glory. Unto him be glory in the church. We're here to, really, that's our number one mission. We have many missions, of course, to win the lost, to serve Christ with our gifts. But all of it can be wrapped up into that, to bring glory to God. Unto him be glory in the church. So it comes down to his ability. And now the verse I was mentioning earlier is Matthew 9, if you would turn over there. Down in verse 27. So this was the two blind men that asked Jesus to heal them. And I love this passage, 9:27 of Matthew. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? My friend, God is asking each of us that same question. Every time a trial comes into our life, every time we have a big request for God, God is asking us that question. Believe ye that I'm able? Because if you don't believe I'm able, I'm not going to do it. Because you're questioning my power. You're questioning my ability. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. Do you believe? And they say unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes and said, According to your what? Faith. So he just helped us get a bit more understanding about faith there. According to your faith. He asked them a question. Do you believe I'm able? Yes, Lord, according to your faith. So faith is believing God is able. And so when we don't believe God is able, that's a lack of faith. Again, that angered God more than anything in Israel's behavior was their lack of faith. And even the disciples, Jesus had to rebuke them numerous times for their lack of faith. You know, we have twice in the Bible where Jesus marveled at someone's faith, and never was it the disciples, by the way. He never marveled at their, well, he did marvel once at their lack of faith, but he never marveled at their faith. Now, that was reserved for a heathen soldier and a widow, but not the disciples. They constantly had to be rebuked because they didn't believe God was able. One more verse, Hebrews 7, verse 25. Maybe there's someone here, you're not sure you're born again. I look around, I know most of you, but I don't know your hearts. Listen, God is able to save you from hell. And that's where it all begins for every human being. You can believe anything you want about God, but until you trust Him as your Savior and receive eternal life, those beliefs get you nowhere. You'll go straight to hell without salvation. But notice what he says here in Hebrews 7:25. Now unto him that is able to save them to the uttermost, that come unto God by him. That's Jesus. Jesus is able to save to the uttermost those who come to him. And hopefully everyone in this room can say, I've done that. I've come to Christ. I've asked him to save me, and he has saved me. Don't you love that phrase, to the uttermost? There's nobody that can't be saved. It doesn't matter what you've done, what kind of past you've had. God is able to save you because it's not based on you. It's based on Jesus and what he did at Calvary. And that was sufficient. So unto him should be all glory in the church throughout all ages. Unto him who is worthy of all glory. What does God want from us? He wants us to believe that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above. So not just, Lord, this is my request. Can you do this? But my God can do exceeding abundantly above what I'm asking. If that's our attitude, that's faith. Like he said to the blind man, do you believe I'm able? That's the only question he asked. Do you believe I'm able? Yes, Lord. According to your faith, they were healed. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly of all that we ask or think, according to the power, he's in us, according to the power that worketh in us. Where do we get the power to serve Christ? From God. Where do we get the power to witness? From God. Where do we get the power to do anything? From God. He is the one that is able to do exceeding abundantly above. So don't let the devil trick you into doubting God and his power. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. But with faith, what are the limits? Exceeding abundantly above all that we could even imagine. Amen? God is good. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word. I pray.